D. Hey, D. D, we're ready to go. D, where are you?
Oh, darn. Catholic Vitamins. Vitamin C. Compassion. Episode 58, I think.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, hello, Dee.
Well, hello, Tom. Why are we talking this way?
Well, because you're not with me.
I know that, but they don't know that, right?
Right, right. Well, maybe we should explain. Where are you, Dee?
Well, I'm in an hour and a half south of our home, in our daughter's house.
Oh.
And I am babysitting.
Did we have an argument?
No. I'm babysitting.
Oh, who are you babysitting?
The grand dog.
Oh, the grand dog.
No grandkids this trip, just the grand dog.
Do you remember the breed of that dog?
It is a soft-haired Wheaton Terrier.
And just a lovely, lovely dog, isn't he?
A furry ball of love, yes.
Yeah. He's
right now he's laying on his little bed here in the family room, just being very relaxed.
And he's mostly white, isn't he?
Mostly white. He started out darker, but as he grew, as he got bigger, his fur lightened a whole lot.
I think he likes it when we come to visit. He spends time around us, and he loves affection. The problem is our dog, Holly, who is about one-fourth the size of that Wheaton Terrier. By the way, the dog's name is Max, folks.
Right.
Like Maximilian or something like that. Our dog is 12 years old, dear.
Mm-hmm. And, almost.
Yeah, and is a miniature schnauzer. She's a loving dog, but she, I guess, is intimidated. Or
she's about, as you said, a quarter of the size of Max.
Yeah, and she sort of doesn't like to have big dogs get in her space or in her face.
She's a grumpy old lady. And Max is full of, you know, P&V.
Yes,
as
yes.
They say, because she's still a puppy.
That would be paws, and what would the V be? Well, hey.
So anyhow, I got down here today and relieved a young man who had been staying here all week, taking care of the dog and the house plants and all that. Because our daughter and son-in-law and the grandkids are out in California all week. It's spring break from school, and they're out there on a fun trip, going to Disneyland and checking out some colleges for the teenager.
Speaking of California, I'm sort of jumping on subjects, but you and I have been planning a trip, haven't we?
We have. It's getting closer.
We should tell our listeners that we're going to take a Catholic Vitamin V, which is vacation, or B, which is break.
Or R, for road trip.
There you go. We're going to go out to California, hopefully connect with one or two sons, and maybe get up to San Francisco, maybe get to see our favorite www.catholicmom.com.
Oh, that would be great if that worked out.
Yeah,
she's so busy, so we'll just have to kind of wing it and see if it would work.
Will she remember that before she became a famous author that we knew her? Hey, I heard the doorbell in the background. Hold on just a minute. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, dear, I'm back, and there was somebody at the door. It was the FedEx man. And
did he bring us some goodies?
Well, he brought your birthday present.
Oh, really?
Yes. Should we tell our listeners that you have a birthday coming up?
No, they don't have to know that.
Okay. You're ageless. Well,
So you're not going to tell me what this is, are you?
Not on the show. I mean, this would be ahead of time and it would spoil things. We're Tom and Dee. We never said who we were. This is Catholic Vitamins. This is a brain test for Dee. Dee, our vitamin for today?
C.
Aha. Good.
No. Yes. C.
Okay. Do you remember the vitamin?
For compassion.
There you go. Catholic vitamin C, compassion. We have
my mind hasn't deteriorated that much.
Okay, well, we won't go there. we're enjoying a little time on the phone together rather than being physically together. Dee, I wanted to mention to folks, just by way of saying a few things that we've done. I've been involved in two funeral vigils, the thing that they used to call doing the rosary a lot of years ago, couple generations ago. And in fact, we still do the rosary for those that would like it, but the funeral vigils seem to have been for people who you might classify, I hate to do this, but you might classify them as cultural Catholics. You know, no mass for the deceased, hardly any religion or religious aspect demonstrated in their get-together. You know, they call a deacon in or call the church just to make sure that a few prayers are said and all the bases are covered. But, you know, just not a lot of faith orientation and sometimes for people that haven't been known to be going to church. I just wonder how that makes people feel in our audience who might hear this and how they might react to it. So if you have any thoughts, dear folks, we're usually not into controversial stuff all that much. And since our topic,
I'd like to hear some comments.
Yeah. Since our topic is compassion, the struggle that I have as a deacon is how much compassion and pastoral gentleness to have versus how much of a challenge to issue to those people, some of whom may not get to church hardly at all. So it's a real struggle. Let's see. I'm reading a book, Dee, An Exorcist Tells His Story. It's by Father Gabriel Amorth, A-M-O-R-T-H. You didn't know this, Dee, but when our friend left who had loaned me his copy for a few days, he took his book back and I got another one from an Amazon book used reseller and got a good quality copy and I'm right back into it.
I didn't know you got one already.
Yeah, it's really, really good. So I'm enjoying that because it is very real. It's an important area that I think a lot of people have lost belief in, and it's certainly a very serious area, not to be one to be messed with. But I'm enjoying reading An Exorcist Tells His Story.
Well, as much as I said I didn't want any more books coming into our house, that one's probably a good one for the bookshelf.
Yeah, amen. Are you still reading Miracles, Healing for a Broken World?
I am. I read little chunks at a time, and I'm towards the back end of it now.
Are you? That's by Father Stefan Starzynski, who's in Northern Virginia, and he was a guest quite a while ago on Catholic Vitamins. When we interviewed him, I can't remember what the letter of the vitamin was that we healed him for, but
was it H healing and
could be
healing and something?
Yeah,
I think it was two H's, healing and humor.
Oh, that's right. Good memory.
But he's funny.
Yes, he is. He's very funny, and some of his jokes.
Some of his jokes
are very corny.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think he's an anointed priest. It's a great book. We were glad to have him on as a guest, and I believe he's still very active in the healing ministry as well as a great leader for the people in his parish and elsewhere, Father Stefan Starzynski. Anything else we should do in the first segment, Dee?
Did you tell him where you took Holly today?
Holly, our miniature schnauzer, went to the vet, a brand new vet for us, and Holly is having her teeth cleaned, and I think they're going to clean her ears a little bit too.
which means they've knocked her out.
Right, right, right.
And you're going to pick her up in a little while, and hopefully she won't be too woozy.
Yeah, absolutely. She's also going to be ravenous. I may have to go buy her some soft food, depending on
That's
how.
That's right. Just like humans, she couldn't eat or drink anything past midnight last night.
Right. So she may have to have soft food, depending on how much they had to do with her teeth. I'll find out when I pick her up. And you didn't ask, but just since you know where I go on Fridays at midday, I just came back a short while ago from Adoration Before the Blessed Sacrament for an hour in Respect for Life. Our pro-life people who gather do so every Friday from noon until 1 p.m. And I was there in prayer asking God to help us find a way, divine leadership to lead us out of this state that we're in with regard to abortion and such matters.
And so, I understand you stopped and got a fish dinner on the way home.
Oh, I wasn't going to talk about that. Can you smell it on my breath, Dee?
No, but I'm glad it's stinking the house there and not here.
All right.
I will have to buy myself something to eat after a while, so I'm the only one here. And I haven't even looked to see what's in their freezer or refrigerator. So I might run out and get myself a fish sandwich or something.
Well, I hope you and Max enjoy your afternoon and your time together, and that you enjoy the peace and quiet and maybe go do a little shopping or something.
I might do that. I brought some craft stuff along with me. I thought maybe since it's quiet and I could do work on making some greeting cards without any interruption, that would be great.
We didn't talk about this because we are physically or geographically separated. We have lots of giveaways going on. Well, some book giveaways going on. We'll do that later in the show.
Maybe we won't finish up the show until I get back up there tomorrow.
Right, right, right. But what I was going to say is that maybe we could do a couple holiday giveaways. You remember we were talking about doing an extra special prize for one Catholic Vitamin listener family of a special thing that we would send at Christmas time, and we would put all those names of people that we've had contact with and pull one name. But then the other thing is you do some beautiful custom cards, and maybe we could have you do a packet of about five of your custom greeting cards with some of your beautiful photos on them, and we could do that for either Thanksgiving or Christmas.
I could do that.
All right. Well, there's some ideas.
That means I have to get busy.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, dear folks, thanks for letting us prattle on, as they say. This is Deacon Tom and the lovely... Hello.
Hello.
Dee. Hi. The lovely Dee. And we will be back. Okay, you're on, but I can edit out the beginning of this, so...
So, you don't just set a microphone in front of people and tell them to talk.
Yes. What do you think, Dee? Should we put this on the program?
Don't you dare. Okay, what was your corny joke?
My name is Jacqueline, and I run track.
And I need... all the Catholic vitamins I can get? No, that wasn't what you said. What you said?
Something like that to keep up in the faith race.
Yeah. Do you want to write it down?
Yeah. Okay. My name is Jacqueline and I run track, so I need my Catholic vitamins to keep up in the faith race.
Yeah. Would you like to say it like you mean it?
No. No, I wouldn't.
Hi, this is Cheryl Deco, author of Our Jewish Roots. Delighted to be with you here today to share a Jewish roots perspective on the letter C. And C is one of those letters where I could have come up with a dozen different things to speak on, but I selected the word custom. And I was thinking about my goals in writing the book, Our Jewish Roots, is to really share some insights into our customs as Catholics. I think it's important for us to realize that we are faith-filled people, but we're also thinking people. And so it's okay for us to know why we do what we do. For instance, you know, I would ask you, do you know why it is our custom that we baptize babies? Or do you know why it is our custom to rely on the intercession of the communion of saints? Catholics have a really rich, wonderful history, and there are many reasons why we practice the customs that we do. And I believe that when we understand why, we have a deeper appreciation of what we do, and we also recognize what a true gift our faith is. So I was thinking this week, what I'd like to encourage every Catholic Vitamin listener to do is to think about the customs of our faith, think about anything that we do, pick one, and make a commitment to understand it more fully this week, and to thank God for that gift that we have in the customs of our Catholic faith.
Well, thank you, Cheryl, for another Our Jewish Roots segment. Thank you for your participation on Catholic Vitamins, Cheryl. I have your book here in front of me, excuse my bumping, Our Jewish Roots, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Fulfillment Today by Connecting with Her Past. And inside it says, indeed, women today are yearning to carry on the tradition handed to them by their sisters in faith. We're finding a renewed sense of self as we embrace the wisdom found in the scripture. In turning back to God's word as our source of insight and guidance, we find the support we crave. Loving your book, Cheryl. And speaking of your book,
let's give a couple away.
Cheryl and Bezalel Books have graciously agreed to donate 2 copies to listeners of Catholic Vitamins. Dee's got one of her famous baskets.
And can you draw out 2 names?
Yeah, I've got one here. This is, Milani Baker. I think Milani is the lady from...
She's in Hawaii.
Hawaii. We're going to deliver this book personally.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Milani. We'll get your mailing information.
All right, one more.
Okay. All right. Julia Cutting. Julia Cutting. Okay, I don't know where Julia lives. But if it's someplace romantic or fun, we'll deliver that one in person,
well,
too.
I have her email address, so we'll get her address.
Well, thank you both for listening to Catholic Vitamins. And what's going to happen is we'll get your mailing information and send that to Bezalel Books. And on our behalf and on theirs, they'll send you a copy of Cheryl's book.
Hey.
Neat, huh?
Neat. I'm back.
Yes, welcome back, Dolores. Welcome. You're in person. You're in the... co-pilot chair?
I am in the Catholic Vitamin studio again.
Yes.
Instead of being on the phone.
Well, I'm glad you're back safely. It was a long drive, but you were back in time.
I did. I had fun. 24 hours, just me and the dog. It was fun and quiet. Oh, it's so nice and quiet.
Really? Did you go swimming?
I did not go swimming. The water did feel a little chilly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it would have been okay. When the sun was shining bright in the day, it would have been okay to go in.
Remember when we used to go to Ocean City, Maryland, how cold it was out there on the ocean, you know, when you first went in?
Yeah, and then it felt great.
Yeah.
And the pool would have felt that way too, but I just decided not to.
Okay. So you're back, and let's see. We had a little bit of feedback. Maybe we could do a tiny bit of that now before we bring up our guest.
I have made mentions, and I think you have too, on Facebook about us watching Lost.
Oh, yes.
How we bought the DVDs, and we're now into the second season. I mean, we're so hooked. And when I made a post about us starting the second season, Lisa Henley Jones wrote that second season was her all-time favorite for Lost. So I'm excited now.
Yeah, well, we've been into it, 2 episodes?
Yeah.
And they were pretty exciting.
Good, yeah. We might mention that her sister, Lisa's sister, Shelley, won our Vita Scrabble last time.
That's right. And let's see. Mary Ward wrote. She was following up on something that I had sent to her about discernment, because Mary Ward, our dear friend, is discerning some vocation matters. And she said, I loved the show on discernment. That priest was wonderful. I think I even posted a comment on Facebook about it, but that would have been earlier this year, or even quite a while ago, huh? I was much impressed by the young man with the billion conversation blog that he is doing, and the bicycle on the abandonment episode.
1billionstories.com.
Neat to hear young people or any age people being touched by the Lord and then going to do something about it. Amen, Mary. Amen. It gives me hope and encouragement. Amen, Mary. Signed, peace, Mary Ward. Blessings. Well, dear, I think we're pretty close to the midpoint of our show, and we have a special guest. You remember what our vitamin is?
C.
Yes. What's Catholic vitamin C? Catholic, not just any C.
Right.
Catholic vitamin C.
Strong compassion.
Yeah. Well, we found someone that we think really speaks to the topic of compassion. One of the joys for me of Catholic vitamins is the people that God is helping us to find. And as we said at the beginning, we're not always bringing you famous people, real well-known people, but I think the stories that the people tell on Catholic Vitamins and on 1billionstories.com are the kind of things that move our heart and soul and hopefully draw us closer to the Lord.
And even more exciting sometimes is when we get a chance to do an interview with somebody in person.
Yes.
Rather than on the phone, and this was one of those cases.
All right, we'll be back after a short music break, and we'll bring up our guest for today. Well, we're in our classroom building, our parish hall at St. Philip the Apostle Church in Payson. And we have two guests with us. The first guest is Deacon Joe Bogoshevsky, and we're with his wife, Jan. And we welcome you both to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you.
So it's good to be with you. Also sitting with me is my lovely bride, Dee, who doesn't often get to join in interviews, and I'm so glad that you're here too.
I don't know what to do. I feel so out of place.
All right. Well, our vitamin for today is vitamin C, compassion. And I think we're going to hear a story of compassion in action with our guests. But before we get into that, why don't we find out a little bit about Deacon Joe and Jan? Let's start with you, Joe. Tell us a little bit about your early years and your journey to today.
Well, to start out with, Jan and I actually went to school together, high school together. And although we knew each other and spent time there, I actually worked for her father for 3 years in high school. But we really didn't get to date with each other until about 2 years after I went into service. We got married in 1965. We have 6 children. We have 5 girls and 1 boy and 18 grandchildren.
Awesome.
Wow.
Which we just had one
24th.
June 24th. I'm not good with dates. Which is Sarah Elise. I spent almost 15 years in the military. We've been married for 45 years, December 27th of this year. Moving around, we finally settled into Tucson, Arizona in 1981, working for Hughes Aircraft. And then I basically retired in 1991, and where I got involved with the church quite a bit.
Okay, we'll come to that in okay. just a second. You've been married now for how many years? Let me just go back over that.
45 years, this December 27th, over
awesome.
45.
Yeah. Blessings. We've already heard about your family. Were you both born Catholic?
Yes.
Yes, we're cradle Catholics.
Okay. Any strong reversions or time away from the church?
For me, it would be in the military only because it wasn't available. And again, when we were younger, before the kids really start getting older, we weren't really church going.
Okay.
But when our kids got older, okay, our values changed. Okay, we have to set some values. So we started going back to church and been involved in church.
As a deacon and deacon's wife, you know that we run into that a lot, don't we?
Oh, yes.
A baby or a child or young children begin to bring a call something from down deep inside.
Right.
It's a typical story.
Yeah, it sure is. Mm-hmm. All right, so tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a deacon. What's that about? How did that get started?
Well, when we started moving here in 81, like I said, we were involved in the church quite a bit. In fact, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, all our children were involved either through collections, at the Mass, the readings and stuff. We did the readings and stuff, and doing other stuff. Kids were involved in CCD. And there was always a calling for me to do more. And I was struggling with that. Okay, what else can I do? Then we, by accident, we had moved. We moved to Marana, and I had met take a load of trash down in the dump, and I didn't know where I was going. And I actually passed St. Christopher's Church, which was, if you didn't know it, the sign was there, you would have never known it was even a church. And I called up and said, they're having masses. And so we started going to St. Christopher's. And that was in 91, 92. And the church was really poor. I mean, our collection for a whole complete Sunday was, if it was $100, it was a lot.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it was a really hard time. And so I was at the church repairing stuff. I mean, it was in disarray. I'm repairing stuff, painting and fixing things. And I still had the call to do more. And for whatever reason, we had went to a Picture Rocks retreat mass one Sunday, and there was Father Tom Danielson there. And he did a homily on giving back to the church. And, I said, okay, what else can we do? And then after Mass, we met him outside. He said, what else can we do? He says, well, have you ever thought about becoming a deacon?
Oh.
And I didn't even know the word deacons at that particular time. And ever since that moment in time, I couldn't get it out of my mind. I couldn't sleep. I would wake up in the middle of the night. I said, okay, what's a deacon do? I mean, I had to research. And that, and then to boost it a little bit, the following weekend, Father O'Brien, the pastor of St. Christopher's, just made an announcement. Anybody interested in becoming a deacon? I have applications. That's it. So I got to talk with him.
That was
him.
Your sign.
That was a sign. I said, okay, you got one and you got two.
Let me ask Jan, how did you feel about him becoming a deacon when this subject got started?
Oh, I was very much for it. While he was going through all of this discernment and all of this pull from in his heart to do something more, I was also doing that and wanting to learn more. And I wanted to have more information about my faith. I just wanted to get more and more. And I went to the pastor before Father O'Brien and asked him, is there any books I can get something? Mm-hmm. And he said, not here. I had to take everything from where I was transferred and went on and on. And I felt like it was almost an answer to my prayer because I was able to accompany him on his journey. So I was very, very encouraged and very much in agreement with him becoming a deacon, never thinking he'd ever be accepted because of age or what have you. And we never felt worthy of that calling, but I was very excited.
You mentioned going to classes and learning. I was blessed that Dee was able to come with me 4 years. She never missed a class.
Right.
She went through our weekends of spiritual formation.
I was going to say it's the best free education
we could get. Absolutely.
Well, it's not totally free, but we did have to pay for things. But still,
that's true. It was worth it.
Yeah.
All right, and then just in the keeping our eye on our time together and working towards compassion. Tell us when you were ordained.
I was ordained in May of 2008.
Okay.
In fact, it was the last class that got ordained in the Diocese of Tucson. And the first year, through the class, and then we figured, okay, we'll get the summer off. Well, that wasn't quite true because of Sister Lois Paha, who was the director of formation for the diocese. She said, okay, we have to do a ministry now, other than what we were already doing. And basically she made a statement, pick a ministry that would challenge you. And I said, well, okay, I'm trying to what to do. I mean, like nursing homes and stuff like that. Jan's always worked in a nursing home. I was very comfortable with that, talking to the people. So that wasn't a stretch for me. So I'm having a problem trying to decide. Well, one day, another instructor, Margaret Lorden, called me up because she knew I had a pickup truck. And to help her take clothes down to the Mariposa aid station in Nogales, which is on the Mexican side, where the migrants get deported. And there's a little aid station there that they feed and clothe there. I said, okay. So we go down there, and we start unloading the stuff. We were there no more than 5 minutes, and there was one of those buses that dropped the migrants off on the American side and forced them to walk across the border. And then a bus load of about 45 to 50 individuals, men, women, and children. Well, with us, there was a girl named Mary Jane, who was a trauma nurse at St. Mary's Hospital that came along with us. And thank God that she was there, because there was a woman that came into the aid station having a heart attack.
Oh my.
And if it wasn't for her, and she just had a little medical kit, she stabilized her. Well, we actually begged one of the Mexican customs officials to use his pickup truck to get her to the hospital, which we did. Now, what happened to her, I don't know. But that put a fire into my heart. Just been there ever since. And I said, okay, I got to do something. So I started, at home collecting all my clothes and shoes, and I would go out and buy, 50 pounds of beans or rice or whatever, and just take them down every week. And all of a sudden my kids were finding out what I was doing. I got more clothes, I got more donations for food. And all of a sudden I said, okay, praying to the Holy Spirit, says, you got me into this now, I'm getting all this stuff and they can't use it. I mean, it's piling up. I mean, I said, we have to find some other avenue, So I was like, okay. 2 days later, I get a call from a gentleman by Robert Park. And I don't know how he got my phone number. I mean, actually he was in the seminary to be a Baptist minister.
Okay. Oh, wow.
He said, I hear you help the migrants. I said, yeah. So I said, there's some migrants that need some help down in the, and for lack of a better term, we call it Indian workers camp, because it's in Mexico and Sonora, they have these hothouses, commercial hothouses, they're huge. And where they have migrants, actually Indians working in them, minimum labor, because the Mexicans don't work in there because it's demeaning labor. Mm-hmm. So they import the Indians from Oaxaca and some other places to work in there. So we go down there and we took a bunch of clothes and stuff, and the conditions were abominable. Mm-hmm. And what we found out was, his name was Ortiz, and actually he had an accident and involved with a train, a car wreck or something. He had both legs amputated and he had a broken arm, but he had a pin in his arm that went from his wrist to his elbow. And when we got down there, the pin started coming out. And I'm not a nurse, mm-hmm. but I know an infection when I see it. Mm-hmm. And it was bad. So we took him to the clinic in Imudiz. And we spent there a couple hours there, and the doctor gets there, and I can't help him. So I said, you got to take him to the hospital in Magdalena. So we take him to the hospital in Magdalena, and again, we're there for 4 hours, and the doctor's looking, trying to figure out what to do. He said, we don't have the facility to handle this infection. I said, okay. And this is the only hospital in Magdalena. So we had to take him back to Nogales, Sonora, the hospital there, because of the connection to the border, more Americans go there, and they're more equipped. So actually, we took them there, and then they finally got the infection under control.
All right, let's do a pause here for just a moment so we can say on Catholic Vitamins, our guest is Deacon Joe and his wife Jan Bogoshevsky. Our vitamin for today is vitamin C, compassion. And what we're beginning to hear is about migrants who are brought to the border and are being deported by our government because of whatever reason they should not be in the country or they were not welcome in the country, and they're being dropped to go across the border, and then they have to sort of make do on the other side.
Yeah, they're on their own.
And that got your ministry started when you...
Right. And continuing from the Ortiz after that, we heard about a dump, you know, people living at the dump in Nogales, Sonora. And I said, okay, people living at the dump? It's just, well, yeah, physically living there. So we spent a day trying to find a dump, which we did. We found the dump, and there's about 28, well, when we first now found it, there was about 24 families living at the dump. Most of them, I would say about 80% of them are, have been deportees that have, you know, they have no place to go. And they were scavenging through the dump for shelters. There's no electricity. There's no water.
I just wanted to add a little bit in here that was the very beginnings of Poverty 24/6, and it grew leaps and bounds.
Right.
And we realized that it was, even though these people were illegals and they should not be here, they broke our laws. We, all of a sudden, the politics sort of went away and you looked at the people.
Yeah.
And that's where your heart was taken. But it has grown substantially.
Right.
We had to go to the bishop because it was so large and we needed some direction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it started becoming Poverty 24/6, a little bit before that.
Explain the name Poverty 24/6.
Okay. Poverty 24/6 came about, it started December 16th, 2006, officially. And it came about because I was trying to figure out, okay, poverty, you know, for the name of the charity, and our Lord said that basically poverty will be with us for all time.
Mm-hmm. The poor.
Right. For the poor will be with us for all time. And I started thinking about it, so, but he never said it couldn't take a day off. Now,
well, that's where the six.
So then all of a sudden, Poverty 24/6, give poverty a day off. And for whatever reason, and it stuck. I said, well, what? Poverty's 24/7. No, Poverty 24/6. You know, and that's actually how it got started, because it was a conversation piece. I said, you know, no, we help have poverty take a day off.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we've given poverty of certain areas a day off quite a bit.
And I think a big influence or a big reason why it grew were the parishioners at St. Christopher's.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He made a box, Poverty 24/6. Those people, as poor as some of them are, gave so much of themselves.
There was a box put out there, like I said, December 16th of 2006, and started out where I had to empty it once a week. And since then, I had to empty it out once a week. Now it's once or twice a day. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking
people
about
people are coming from Flagstaff.
Flagstaff, all over.
There's a lot of people involved, a lot of people helping. We have a Buddhist lady that helps.
There's a Buddhist.
That collects.
Collects once a
compassion
month.
Compassion knows no fame.
It just goes right across the line.
There's a Lois Martin that St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Tucson, that she has a collection. She has, they have a yard sale or something once a month. I get everything that's left over from her.
Poverty is
no bounds.
It's
I have the Jewish community helping, the Protestant Universal Church that Pastor Robert Park is from. You know, actually him and I started Poverty 24/6, but helped expand it to
Now it has grown to where there's a Poverty 24/6 in Mexico.
We officially charity in Mexico, which five mayors of Sonora on the board of directors, Mayor Magdalena, Tumotama, Imuriz, Santayana, and Chincera.
We haven't learned to speak Spanish and all of this either.
A lot of people say, I've been doing this since 2005 or so, 2004, and I speak I don't even speak Spanish. I can understand it, but it never stopped me, communication knows no boundaries. Charity knows no boundaries or the language.
Okay, now are you incorporated?
We are under the only charity authorized by the Diocese of Tucson, under the auspices of the Diocese of Tucson.
Awesome.
Now, what it is, and I have to put this in there, because the bishop wanted it that way, because he wants it as a diaconate charity for service. It's all charity. There's nobody gets paid for it. All the donations that we bring in goes directly to the poor. All monies go into, we bring in, it pays our to go down there like once a week. I mean, still going down there once a week. And when the gas prices were $3 a gallon, it was $100 a trip.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
A round trip. And then we also gives us to buy the food and items that normally do not get donated, like women's hygiene things, perfumes, soaps, candles, like at the dump. There's no electricity. So candles they serve as light, heat, and cooking.
I just wanted to add another thing in here. The Poverty 24/6 in Mexico, there is a gentleman or a couple of gentlemen that come up and pick up a lot of supplies now. So that's taken a load off of Joe, basically, because he was doing all the pickup and basically bringing everything down. And we were trying to do it the right way, so it had to be okayed by the Mexican government, and that's taken months and months and months. But now Poverty 24/6 is really helping more locally because of the economy and what's happening to people locally. They found out there were over 500 families that are homeless in the town of Marana alone.
Wow.
So they've had a big St. Anthony's Day for clothes and school supplies before school opened. So Poverty 24/6 is starting to be able to concentrate more locally.
Right.
And Poverty 24/6 Mexico is coming up and getting a lot of donations, although they still go down.
Sure,
That's in their heart.
Now, if any of our listeners felt moved to learn more about this, is there a place to get more information?
Well, there is a website. It's www.poverty24-6.org.
Okay. We'll put that link in our show notes.
And then there's also a link to a DVD that was done by the University of Notre Dame as a documentary about Poverty 24/6.
I'd like to watch that.
I have a copy.
Wonderful.
It's done beautifully.
And what was amazing about that, because the Holy Spirit working through, they found out about Poverty 24/6 and helping the migrants, and Father, I can't think of his name.
Father Grudy.
Grudy, who's a professor at Notre Dame, teaches Spanish liturgical classes there. And he found out about it, so he called up and went from there. But he didn't realize how involved that we were, because not only do we take care of the dump, we also help 10 drug and rehab centers in Sonora, Mexico. Because most of those, I would say 99% of them, have been deported. And, so they have nothing. They're going through the drug and rehab centers.
Mm-hmm. All right, we've heard about the beginnings, the expansion,
You know, I think God's guiding of poverty 24/6. Can people help if they feel called from listening to this show? How would they help?
Well, they can help by with clothes now, or and donations of all corp. You know, I accept everything, and people say, well, what do you need? I need everything. When people have nothing, they need everything, literally. And the one thing that keeps us sick in my mind is because people were donating hangers. I said, oh, hangers, I was throwing them away. I come to find out was the Mexican government, not even government, but the Red Cross down there, they use the hangers for IV hangers. They have uses for hangers that, you know, unbelievable. Wow. So like I said, I started, you know, practicing what I preach. I take everything down there. You know, when we went to the Indian workers camp, we figured, okay, we took a lot of canned goods down there, you know, and, you know, realized, okay, they don't even have a can opener to open up the cans.
Wow.
You know, and then the kids, Costco had a sale on bananas one time. So we took a whole bunch of bananas down there, and it really just took us back because we can hand out these bananas, and the little kids were looking at us like, okay, what are these? We had to show them what a banana was, how to eat a banana.
Oh, my heavens. Wow.
I mean, those are the things that really, you know, as sad as it is, it makes it all the worthwhile.
All the things we take for granted.
You know, yeah, we take so much for granted. It really, you know, God slaps me up outside the head so many times because, wow, I mean, I took a banana for granted. Mm-hmm. I took a can opener for granted, you know.
So what would be an address for people to send something to?
It would be Poverty 24/6, 12101. Westmore Road, Marana, Arizona, 85653.
All right, we'll get that address and we'll put that in our show notes.
That's actually
as well.
St. Christopher's address.
Yeah, okay. I have an officer as well.
Great. Yeah. Well, our guests today on Catholic Vitamins have been Deacon Joe and Jan Bogoshevsky, the sort of recipients of the direction of the Holy Spirit about how to find another place for compassion in our lives, and then to implement it. And we thank you so much, both of you, for coming to visit us and for being on our show.
Well, we thank you very much for having us.
Appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Peggy Bowes, author of The Rosary Workout. For today's Fitness for Faith segment, I'm going to talk about vitamin C, concupiscence. That's not a word you hear every day. Concupiscence is an inclination towards sin. It is human nature to take the easy path, to pursue pleasure. But as Catholics, we're called to a higher standard. To overcome concupiscence, we need to teach our bodies to obey the will of the soul or spirit. One way is to practice the virtue of temperance or self-control through mortification, fasting, or simply the little way of St. Teresa of Lisieux, whereby daily annoyances are offered up as a sacrifice. Believe it or not, another way to overcome concupiscence is through exercise. In his great work, Summa Theologica, St. Thomas Aquinas stated that those who through exercise have the body more adapted to obey the moving spirit labor less in being moved. St. Paul echoes this idea in 1 Corinthians 9, 25-27. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pommel my body and subdue it, lest after preaching to others, I myself shall be disqualified. So go out and practice a little temperance today. Find time to exercise regularly, and that self-discipline can carry over to other areas of your life, including your prayer and spiritual life. God bless.
Ouch.
Oh, double ouch. Peggy, we didn't know you were going to be a thorn in our conscience, but are you right on?
Oh,
Peggy,
gosh, is she ever.
Well, I have been trying to exercise more, and I'm trying to
encourage my DW to join me.
Oh, gosh, I have such bad self-discipline.
Well, thank you for being on the show, Peggy. And you mentioned sacrifice, like St. Therese and her little way. And for years and years, I've given away sacrifice beads for in memory of St. Therese and her little way. So we'd like to offer a couple of those. We have them here at home. And if anybody would like a sacrifice bead and a little instruction about how to use them, we would be happy to do that. Just send us an email or call our feedback number, 206-350-3789, and say beads or sacrifice beads, and we'll know what you want.
Right.
So we'll do that. We have lots of stuff we're doing for giveaways, and so we'll do a couple rosary beads and offer those if anybody wants to. I want to go back to our guests, Deacon Joe and his wife, for coming on Catholic Vitamins to talk to us about poverty 24/6. Dee, what a beautiful story of someone just being open to being a tool. What else can I do, Lord? What else can I do, Lord? And receiving a call that would wind up leading him eventually to people living in a dump on the other side of the border.
It's just an amazing story.
It really is. And when you think, you know, let's set aside all of this stuff about politics and Senate Bill 1070 here in Arizona, whatever your political view on that is, people that have been evicted from this country and who are dumped with no money, no food, nothing, and they're living in a dump on the other side, and how God has helped Deacon Joe and his wife and now countless other people to start bringing goods to them. It's a wonderful story. We're going to have the link to Poverty 24/6 and a little bit of information about this compassionate ministry on our blog page. And dear friends of Catholic Vitamins, if you could spare $10 or $25, please make a donation to Poverty 24/6. Well, dear, what else are we going to do?
Well, were you going to mention
Crossing the Goal book? Yes, absolutely. Well, what that's about, friends, is last show, our show on brotherhood, we had Bob from the Paul's Men podcast on, and we talked about men's groups and trying to get men's groups started, Catholic men's groups, and we're offering to give away a book that's a good discussion book for men, and all you have to do is just send us your name or your or contact our phone number and tell us that you're interested in Crossing the Goal book. And we're going to put those names into a basket and we'll pull a winner.
We're going to do that in a week. Next podcast.
Okay. Part of our giveaways. We also have some, this will be our last mention of these, some Tobias magazines. It's a magazine for Catholic single living. And they donated some to Catholic Vitamins, and we'd like to make those available to anybody. And if you happen to be married, dear hearts, we hope you're happily married, but you have somebody in your family or in your circle of friends or at work who is single, just send us your name and we'll get a copy of Tobias magazine to you.
Well, we've got some Facebook friends.
Oh, here
new,
we go.
New Facebook friends.
Joseph Francis, Joe Sparer, and Zella, who's a San Francisco, St. Francis secular order person, John Hunt, Deacon Tom Lang, hello, Reverend Deacon Tom, All for Life, Anna Marie Cavanaugh, that sounds...
Margie,
yeah, that sounds like an Irish name, doesn't it?
It does.
And Patrick Skelly, Nina Killian, Charlie Petruzio, Galo McQuell, Rebecca Garza, Jane Sperlin, Carol, oh boy, typing.
I know. This is why I don't like to try to pronounce these names.
Jacques Boucher.
Jacques.
Huh? New Covenant Journal. Ray Mooney. Nancy Ward. Hi, Nancy Ward. Michael Lindner and Tamara Sexton.
And some new Twitter followers. Opinionated Catholic. Sister Margaret Carey. Joe Sales. Octavian. Laura Klein. Mary S. That's Mary in Minnesota. Worldly Hypocrite, Kairos.
What is that?
I don't know.
Kairos.
Rob Williams, Lisa Smith, Meg Lawton.
So there you are. Thank you for coming by to say hi on Facebook or on Twitter. We appreciate it. I think we're ready, aren't we, for our... we didn't have any winners for Catholic Vitamin C for compassion.
So we'll give you another chance.
Yes.
Our next vitamin is going to be vitamin D, as in David. But the word will have 9 letters. It begins with D and ends with S.
I want to tell you folks, from time to time, you hear me talk about this. The guest that we have coming on, God willing, I don't have the interview completed yet, but the guest that we have coming on for that show is a powerful guest and a powerful interview that I hope you will find time to hear. So please join us next week, and we thank you as always for being listeners to Catholic Vitamins.
Also, we had a late guest come in for Vitamin B, Brotherhood.
Oh, yeah.
And it was from Alicia Hart in Georgia. And that's a new name to Catholic Vitamins, so I just wanted to make mention of that.
Okay, so it wasn't Brotherhood, which she guessed. It was...
Yeah, it was Brotherhood. But it came in late.
Oh, okay.
She came in late with it.
I got it. Got it. And so we've done the tease for the next one. Do you have a vitaminute or...
I have a vitaminute. I have a couple quotes.
Well...
Are you ready for them?
Yes.
Okay. Don't put the key to your happiness in someone else's pocket. Keep it in your own.
I like that.
Be kinder than necessary because everyone you meet is fighting some kind of battle. Life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. It has no point.
Oh, 3 vitaminutes for the day.
I like that last one.
Yeah, I do too. Well,
that's
thank you.
That's all I have.
Thank you, dear, and thank you, friends, for being with us. Thanks to Peggy Bowes for her Fitness for Faith segment. And thank you, Cheryl, for Our Jewish Roots and your vitamin C.
And to Deacon Joe and Jan.
Yeah, thank you so very much. Blessings, dear listeners. We are so blessed to have you in our life, and we're praying for you regularly. Let us know if you need any special prayer requests.
Bye.
Bye.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.
There is one voice over the water, the God of glory thunder, and the voice of the Lord is power. It's unceasing, it's unchanging power, and all in his temple will cry, all in his temple will cry, all in his temple will cry. Glory, glory, Lord over all forever. It's a voice of consuming fire, and the God of glory rocks the desert. The voice of the Lord strips the forest bare. It's unceasing, it's unchanging power, and all in his temple will cry, all in his temple will cry, all in his temple will cry. Glory, glory, Lord over all forever, we cry glory. Glory, glory, Lord over all forever, we cry glory. And his temple stands, his throne above the water. From his throne he delivers the right. And in his
His temple, all His people are so blessed. And all in His temple will cry. All in His temple will cry. All in His temple will cry.